Happy Resurrection Sunday, everybody. Come on and make some noise. If you believe it, shout, Jesus is alive. Come on, San Jose, make some noise over there. Shout, Jesus is alive. Praise God. Today is Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, as most of the world refers to it. I'm so excited to kick off on today a brand new series that I'm calling Power. Can you say Power? Yeah, so today is not just an Easter message, if you will, but rather we're commencing a new journey over the course of the next 6 weeks. And I'm inviting you to just come with me over this journey as we wrestle with one of the most critical dynamics in our lives, power. All right, let's read our text. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 through 21. Paul is addressing this to a Jesus-following community, probably in Ephesus. It's his prayer, but embedded here is some incredible, incredible insight about power. And by the way, this is the prayer that I'm praying for all of us who are participating today, you listening to me, and for myself. Here's the prayer. Paul writes these words. This is my prayer too. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power, can you say that power? That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Can you say amen? Lord Jesus, pour out your power on this teaching now. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, my friends, say it one more time. Power. Go ahead and say it. Yeah, the basic definition of the word power is the ability to act autonomously, to influence others, or to influence the course of events. Now, many of us listening today, watching me, when we hear the word power, we get excited because we have been working hard most of our lives to accumulate and to wield power all throughout and around our lives. Others among us, when we hear the word power, we get a little frightened because far too often we've ended up on the wrong side of power, victims of abuse and oppression and injustice. Still, there are others listening to me right now. When you hear the word power, you just have sad feelings. The young teenager who's trying to exercise power over their lives, only if you ask them today, they would say, well, the words that they basically feel to describe this moment, this season, voiceless, invisible, powerless, sad feelings. Or the elderly person who can remember a time when they exercised extraordinary power, not only over their lives, but in the world around them. But now, it's a faint, distant memory. Or the person who's struggling with some quiet but incredible addiction, or anxiety, or depression, or procrastination. And at one time, you would hear the word power, and it extended a kind of hope that one day victory would come. But now, you feel like it's just a kind of faint song to a fairy tale, if you will. You feel hopeless. Well, here's the question, you see, that I want us to wrestle with starting today, but over the course of the next 6 weeks. Thinking about those scenarios. Thinking about your scenario. What is my relationship with power? And what do I wish it to be? The Apostle Paul starts off on this grand day of resurrection as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus by announcing some fantastic news. He says that there is a power. I'm going to call it resurrection power. Can you say resurrection power? Yes, there is a power that is available and accessible to all of us, regardless of age or stage or circumstances, whether we have lots of resources or limited resources. It's resurrection power, he would say. And if we would dare take the time over the course of the next several weeks to learn, we all can have access to it. Let me just say a word about this resurrection power. It shouldn't be strange. It is the same power that gave birth to what we now call creation. As a matter of fact, every legitimate form of power is a derivative of this greater power. Oh, might we come to realize just what access we have to this power. Here's the prayer that I want us to pray. Let's just pray this prayer out together. Would you pray with me? Oh God, may the eyes of our hearts be enlightened. Be enlightened. Now, one more thing. Let me give you a sneak preview, if you will, in the next couple of weeks. We're going to be looking at power in a variety of different ways. And next week, we're going to look at power in terms of geopolitical power, technological power, in concert with the movie Oppenheimer. Yeah, so make sure you're back here next week. And then the week afterwards, we're going to look at relational power, how it shows up in our dating and marriages and across gender in concert with the movie. Yeah. Barbie, that's right. In a few weeks, we're going to be talking about the iconic cultural phenomenon, if you will, Barbie. So make sure you get back here for that. But we're going to always be asking the question, what does these expressions of earthly power teach us about resurrection power and in reverse? Because I'm convinced of this, if we can fully wrap our minds around resurrection power, it won't just transform how we live our lives, it'll transform how we perceive reality. Can you say resurrection power? This is what Paul is describing when he says, and his, he's talking about God, incomparably great power for us, here's the key, who believe. And then he goes on to describe resurrection power like this. That power, you see, is the same as the mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. That is the power that you and I have access to today. So let's learn a little bit more about that power. Jesus today, of course, the one who was raised on this day that we're celebrating, he's the teacher. And as you think about that question a little bit more, what relationship do I have with power? What would I like for it to be? Let me suggest that Jesus had a complicated relationship with power. On occasion, it was intriguing, sometimes a bit confusion. But when we look really closely at it, it's incredibly, incredibly enlightening. Let's start here. You know, Jesus is God incarnate. The gospel writer John, one of Jesus' disciples, described who he is this way. He says, listen, in the beginning was the Word. He's talking about Jesus. And Jesus was God and Jesus was with God. All things were created by Jesus. Without Jesus was not anything created that is created. Can you say power? That's power, guys. That's the power of creation. Jesus knows power. In him was life. That means that the spark of life, that everything that is living starts in Jesus. Jesus knows power. And yet when Jesus was born, he came into a poor family, teenage mom, married to a humble carpenter named Joseph who adopted Jesus. Jesus' bassinet, do you know, was a feeding trough. In his humble sandals, Jesus walked everywhere he went. Come on, this man who knew power never went 50 miles beyond where he was born. Wow. And yet, he knew power. How do we make sense out of this? This is an incredible, 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 incredible experience, right? He knew power. Well, here's how to think about it. If we look closely at Jesus' life, we see him exercising what some people would call otherworldly power. If it was a video game today talking about Jesus' life, they would say he had a power pack or an XG, but there was nothing video game-ish about Jesus. No. He was a historical figure, and the people who lived and served with him, they give testimony to the fact that this Jesus, the kind of power he exercised, well, he could heal the sick with the touch of his hand. The kind of power he exercised, he could drive out dark, demonic, evil forces by the authority of his word. This Jesus, the kind of power he exercised, you know what? He took two fish, five loaves of bread, not magically, but miraculously multiplied it and fed more than 5,000 people. So many people found themselves saying one way or the other what his disciples said on one occasion, What manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him in the midst of a storm? Oh, my goodness. Jesus had a complicated relationship with power. And yet we find this Jesus a couple of days before his resurrection hanging from a Roman cross as though he ended up on the wrong side of power. And there he is, hanging tortured and terrorized and abused in the worst kind of way, experiencing capital punishment. He who is innocent, bleeding and gasping for air and crying and screaming out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And there he is, seemingly so powerless. And yet, this is the same one who 24 hours prior to that crucifixion gathered his disciples around and says, listen, let me get you guys ready. Here's the deal. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority. It has the word power right there. Authority, power to lay it down when I want to and also to pick it up again. Oh my goodness, this is stretching our imagination about one with power as we watch him now, having willingly sacrificed his life. There he is, dying on the cross. You know, he's between two thieves. One of the thieves looked at him and says, man, I thought you were a man of power, but look at you. You're up here just like us. If you had some power, you'd come down and you'd get us too. The other thief looks and cries out, hey, this man has done nothing wrong. And then as though it is a flash, right, the eyes of his heart is suddenly enlightened. And this criminal looks at Jesus, the broken, bloody body of Jesus. And as he looks at Jesus, he sees power, royalty, possibility, hope. What do you see when you look at Jesus? So this guy cries out. He says, Jesus, remember me. Show me some favor when you, the king, come into your kingdom. And Jesus replies as a man who is the very source of power. He cries out, I assure you, I promise you, I guarantee you. Here's the key to our teaching today. Today, he says, you will be with me. You will be with me. You will be, Jesus says, with me on the other side of death in a place called paradise, the place where everything is all right. And Jesus dies. The one who is the very source of power exercises his power by giving up his life for us. Why would he do that? Well, later on, the Apostle Paul, who encountered the post-resurrected Jesus, who charged him to preach the gospel and build the church, here's what Paul writes. He says this, for there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity. Do you feel like there's a gap between you and God? Ah, there's one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, who can manage that gap, who can close that gap. It is the man Christ Jesus. By the way, the man Christ Jesus is the one God and the one mediator. And he closes the gap by this way. He gave his life to purchase freedom, not for some, but for everyone. That includes you. Tell the person, someone that's sitting next to you, they say, that includes you. For everyone, that includes me. Purchased freedom from what? From the penalty of human sin, which is permanent death. He sets us free. This is the message that God gave to the world at just the right time. And so he died. They took his limp body off of the tree, the crucifix, and put him in a tomb, rolled a stone there up in a garden. Mary Magdalene comes the first day of the week. She with some others. The stone has been moved away, and they're surprised. They look in. There is nobody. Mary Magdalene is frantic. She has no idea that something extraordinary, something powerful has happened. The only thing she could think is that something sinister must have taken place. And so she's standing off alone. She's crying, and then comes a voice. Dear woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for? She looks up through her tears. She does not recognize her Savior. He looks like the gardener. And so she says, "Sir, if you have taken him away, would you please just tell me where you've put him? I'll go get him." And then comes that crisp, clear, familiar voice, "Mary." Eyes open as she turns, she sees him. She says, "Rabboni, teacher, teacher." Oh my gosh, I pray that somebody hears the voice of Jesus calling your name today, inviting you to believe. Can you believe? You see, Jesus lives. The announcement says that resurrection has taken place. Resurrection power is real. Death has been swallowed up by life. Jesus lives. This is to suggest that there's more to life than we can ever comprehend with our brain. And yet, this resurrection power is available and accessible to us. Listen to our friend Andy Winfield as he shares his story about his encounter with resurrection power.
Family, thank you so much for giving me this time to speak to you today, and a special thanks to Pastor Herman and the NBCC staff. I am enthralled to be here on this Resurrection Sunday just to give you a little insight into what happened in my life over the last year. In June of 2003, on the 28th, I had a massive heart attack on the golf course in Palo Alto at Baylands. I was feeling ill, told my friends to go ahead. I was going to go home, and I collapsed. I hit my head on the sidewalk, cut it open, and I was alone. But right away, I was able to see one of the maintenance workers at the golf course, flagged him down. He took me into the bathroom. I called my wife, who worked at Kaiser at the time. I then called 911. And within a minute, I could hear the sirens coming. They laid me out on the bathroom floor and took my vitals. And really, after that, I don't have any coherent understanding of what happened. My wife said I was talkative through the time they put me in the ambulance. But once in the ambulance, I coded, and they started to give me CPR. And it was so rigorous that I actually broke 8 of my ribs. And I got to the hospital, and the doctor came up to my wife right away and said, "Hey, you've got a sinus. We want to put him on an ECMO device." An ECMO device, they tie into my femoral arteries in order to circulate my blood to allow my brain to get fed with oxygen and basically to save my life. At that point, the doctor talked to my wife and said, "You should call family and tell them to come. They should bring funeral clothing," because she didn't believe I was going to make it. In reality, the people that get put on the ECMO device, 50% die within 30 days. So this is a story of resurrection of my own, a story of miracles that God has provided for me and my life and for my wife. And I wanted to share that with you for today, especially on Resurrection Sunday. I want you to have faith in our Lord, who is with you at every single moment of your life. Whatever is going on, he knows. He has the best plan for you. And in my case, he has numbered every one of my steps. All of these things that came to fruition for me are all miracles. The fact that I was just that far from Stanford, they're the only hospital within 30 miles that had this device, this ECMO that saved my life. I have to also tell you, and you can see this picture here of me in the hospital. I was in a coma-like state for 2 weeks or so. And I'm going to read to you a verse now that was given to me by Pastor Herman. It says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches, his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms." Now, it says that it's the same power as when he rose Christ. And that's really why I'm here. I want to thank you all, because I know that you were all praying for me. I felt that even in my coma time. I feel it now even. I know that people came and visited and sang over me. Pastor was there. Pastor Jesse was there. And at times, I really didn't want to have people come because I was tired and I needed rest. But here I am today, and I feel like a new man. I feel resurrected myself. So don't forget that your prayers have the same power as those prayers that rose Christ from the dead. And I hope that you'll grasp that and pray every day for your family, for the people in your lives that you love, and especially for those that you're having a hard time with. I love you all very much. Thank you for the kindness to me and especially to my wife who went through this difficult, difficult time. And I thank my Lord, my Savior, giving him all the praise and all the glory. Happy Easter.
Wow, wasn't that powerful? You see? Resurrection power breaking through into our world, into Andy's life. You know, this is a good time to revisit the prayer that Paul prayed. Let's pray it again. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know, here's the key, the hope, shout the hope to which he has called you. Wow. Andy's life is proof that with Jesus, there's always hope. There's always hope, first and foremost, in this life, in your current context, because resurrection power is always around us. Always hope. Always hope. And his life reminds us that in this world, in this moment, the improbable, the impossible, the unexplainable continues to happen because Jesus lives. In this moment, in this season, in your life, the improbable, the impossible, the unexplainable can happen in your marriage, can happen in your schoolwork, can happen in the prison cell, can happen in a hospital room, can happen in your finances, in your business. Yes, miracles still happen. Because with Jesus, who is alive, there's always hope. Well, I hear the question though. What if the miracle did not happen for my loved one? Well, I want you to lean in right here because here's the second insight. With Jesus, and this is the apex moment of the message, with Jesus, there is always hope in life everlasting. Okay. Lean in. Let's revisit the question. For those of you who are asking, as I said a few moments ago, what about that miracle that did not happen for my loved one? Well, I'm going to give you a word for that in just a moment, but part two to that answer is going to come next week, so make sure you're back here for next week. But here's the beginning of that answer right here. Can you say the miracle? You see, we're celebrating today the miracle. Jesus' resurrection from the death is the from the dead is the ultimate victory over death itself. It's the ultimate victory. And every other miracle, well, it's a miracle. And his description of his story and his encounter with resurrection power, you know, that miracle, as powerful as it is limited in scope, and it has an expiration date. It is a miracle. At some point, Andy will die. I will die. You will die. We all will die. It is inescapable. But when Jesus rose from the dead, oh my gosh, come on now, that was the miracle of all miracles. That was the expression of incomparable power. There's no other power that matches that miracle. That miracle. And if you can trust him and put your faith in him, the miracle becomes your miracle. You see, we all don't get our prayers answered. We all don't get the intervention that we want, but we all can have access to the miracle. You get it? That miracle that breaks us free from death to life. You know, a few days ago, Donna, sitting on the bedside of one of our members and partners who passed from time into eternity, she experienced the miracle. I'd walked with her for many months as she had battled with cancer. We had prayed for a miracle, and it never came. And she got ready to go to hospice, and she got ready. We would have conversations. She was one who lived in Jesus and trusted in him. But none of us could imagine what it's going to be like on the other side as we talk about absent from the body, present with the Lord. But she was an heir of the miracle. So we'd talk about it, you know. She trusted. Then came the day. I remember she was struggling to breathe. It was a tough scene. I sat on the edge of a bed and I started to read scripture. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. I started reading scripture and she began to calm. Peace began to come. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in. She got a little bit more calmer. The labor began to cease. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The old heaven and old earth had passed away, and the sea that divided them was gone. And I heard a voice from heaven says that the dwelling of God is now with humanity. Behold, I will make all things new. And she became more calm, and the room became more still as family members were there. She began to surrender. There was a power at work in the room, a power incomparable at work in the room. And then I came to this text. You know, this is the text that I'm about to quote. And a few moments ago, Jesus shows up after Lazarus has died. Martha runs out. She meets him as he comes into town, and she says to Jesus, listen, had you been here, my brother would not have died. Is this not the cry that many of us are listening to this message have said? Jesus, had you been here, a miracle would have happened. Deliverance would have come, but you came too late. I don't understand. But even now, Martha says, I know that you can, the Father will give you whatever you ask. He says, well, you know, you're going to see your brother again. And she says, yes, I know, in the last days. And then Jesus says, listen, we're talking about resurrection now, are we not? We're talking about the rise of Jesus. Here's what Jesus says. Jesus says to her, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me, if you trust in me, your a miracle may not happen, but the miracle you will be an heir to. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. That is what was going on with my sister as she was slipping from this body. She was slipping into eternity. She wasn't going from life to death. She was going from life through death to life. Come on now. He says, even after dying, everyone who lives in me, lives in relationship with me and believes in me. This is the profession of our faith. This is what we're celebrating on this grand day. Will never, ever die. And then he asks her the question that you and I have to wrestle with. Do you believe this? Because if you believe this, you are an heir to the miracle, which is far greater than any basic miracle that is limited in scope, that has an expiration date. Do you believe this? Can you believe it? She slipped from time to eternity. The room got soft. The dogs begin to bark as though all in unison, as though they recognize that something supernatural had taken place. She had gotten the miracle. The very next day, I called her daughter to see how she was doing, and the daughter says, you never believe what happened. She says, I was out working in the backyard, and I heard a whisper, very similar to the voice that Mary heard, and she looked, and it was Jesus. In this case, the daughter heard a whisper, and she said, it was Mama. And Mama was saying to me, don't worry about me, I'm okay. I'm with Jesus. The miracle. The miracle. She says, tell the siblings that you guys did a wonderful job taking care of me. And she says, oh, by the way, I'm so sorry for all the complaining. I didn't know how great it could be. The miracle. Can you shout power? The miracle. Can you shout power? If only you and I can believe, we are heirs. That's what Paul is writing when he says, I pray that your eyes are enlightened, the eyes of your heart are enlightened, that you will know the hope to which you've been called, the great riches that you are now heirs to. What is it? The miracle. The miracle. I challenge you to affirm your faith today, maybe for the first time, or maybe to reaffirm your faith, to say, you know what? I want to lock my life to Jesus so that I'll become an heir to the miracle. And I won't be easily undermined because a miracle didn't happen. Ultimate victory is mine. Oh, it's not magical, but it is miraculous. If you would dare pray this prayer with me, let us pray together. Jesus, I believe in you and welcome you into my life. That means you're going to let him have charge. Transform me by your mighty power. Thank you for being my Lord and Redeemer forever. Amen. Ah, you're now the heir of a great inheritance, the miracle. Congratulations. Walk in faith with Jesus. Happy Easter.